G'day everybody, my name is Elliot Waters and you're listening to the Dysregulated Podcast. As always, thank you for tuning in. Alright, so the next test of my sobriety has just occurred. A couple of days ago, you'll never believe it, but yours truly went on a date and the date went well. So yes, ladies, I just want to make the announcement from the outset. I am back in the dating world, so please form an orderly line because we don't want me to get overwhelmed. So I just thought I'd just put that out there straight at the top. But this was always going to be a big, big test because in the past, constantly I would have this feeling when I was out and wanting to sort of, you know, talk to a chick that the more I would drink, the better I'd be at it because I've social anxiety disorder, you know, and I've had it forever, I think, or pretty close. So me going up and just approaching people is not usually in my forte or is my forte. So alcohol, I was hoping would fix that, but this is the thing, it never did. The socially anxious voice inside my head, it didn't matter how drunk I was, it was as clear as it ever is. So the alcohol did nothing, but for years and years and years, I just kept trying with the alcohol to try and overcome that anxiety, but it never really worked. So, you know, what's the point? So that's partly why I gave it the boot, because it wasn't, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, you know, drinking helps loosen me up and make social occasions easier. Never did that for me. It never really helped at all. I still felt like people were looking at me, judging me, and that I didn't really want to, you know, put myself out there just in case, you know, I get negatively appraised. But then while I get so drunk and would do stuff that would be worthy of being negatively appraised, but that little voice was still there, you know, giving me hell all the way through. So drinking just has never, it's never worked for me. Like if you look at it like a medication, you know, there's no real positive effects for me, but there were plenty of side effects, that's for sure. And the anxiety the next day, oh, anxiety. Spoken about it before, but man, I don't miss that because today's Sunday. And you know, once again, I've woken up Sunday morning, everything is going well. You know, reasonably clear head, no headache at least. And, you know, I've got to thank the whole sobriety thing for that because man, there's been a lot of bad Sundays over the years. But this Sunday, like the last couple, is pretty good overall, pretty good. So anyway, but drinking and dating was always going to be a huge, huge test because, you know, that idea that alcohol, more alcohol equals more girls has, you may as well, it's been tattooed on my head, essentially, inside of my brain. The neural pathway, the groove that supports that theory is so deep and so wide and strong that it's taken a lot to sort of push that aside. But thankfully, I was able to, and I did that because I was sort of, I suppose what I tried to do, instead of, this might go against, you know, what people would think is a good thing, but anyway, I tried to actually take myself out of the specific moment. So instead of being mindful of being in the moment, I was sort of mindful more broadly of the big picture and how important it is to stay on track. You know, one date's not the big picture. The big picture is don't get on the alcohol. So, you know, and that's what I sort of tried to focus on because, oh man, my old habits, they die hard. I just thought, look, you know, I was trying to justify it to myself. I was like, oh, you know, we haven't been on a date for a while. This is a special occasion, you know, it's all right. That doesn't matter if we do this, it's fine, do it. And then, of course, the thought of not only will it be fine and it doesn't matter, it will actually help things along too, which I know not to be true. So there was a lot of that to-ing and fro-ing going on inside my head. And previous other times that I've quit alcohol, which have not been successful, I would have buckled at this point for sure. Definitely. If I didn't buckle it at my future brother-in-law's Bucks party, I would have definitely buckled at this, that's for sure. So the good thing is that's twice now, two big, big tests, and I've got through pretty well unscathed. The next big test I might add is next weekend, which is my sister's wedding. So let's see how we go there. Hang on tight. But one of the things that I told, so when I went on this date, I actually made it very clear from the outset that I don't drink alcohol. And that seemed to go over pretty well. I'm finding that people find the whole not drinking alcohol thing a bit unusual, but very supportive of it and think it's a great idea. So that's pretty cool. And that sort of happened here again. So there was at one point where she offered to buy me a drink. She said, oh, I won't get you a beer or anything. I'll get you, you know. They didn't have Carlton Zero, which was very, very disappointing. So I had a Coke or something. But, you know, if I hadn't mentioned the no drinking, she was like, right, I'm getting us two vodka Red Bulls. Let's go. Ooh, that would have been hard to turn down. Very, very hard to turn down. I do miss me Voddy Red Bulls. But because I was smart, I think, from the outset, I said, this is the story, this is the plan. You know, if you don't like it, well, that's fine. You don't have to go on this date with me, but I'm going to be sober because that's what it is for me. That's how I operate from here on in. And it was good because I could drive home whenever I wanted and, you know, it was good. It was very good. So the date was overall, from the point of view of the non-alcohol drinking sort of side of things, went very well. The date itself went pretty good. So that's good news. But at the same time, the real good news is it's the no drinking thing, which is making me a better person, I think. Like, I don't know if I really did that much stupid stuff when I was drinking, but it certainly felt like I did. Whether I did or not, that's not really the point. My perception was that I did. And I don't have that lingering anxiety where I just carried around, you know, through the week about what happened on the weekend. That just doesn't exist anymore. And it's such a great feeling. It's so liberating. So it's all good news on that front, which is cool. Just one last little thing about the whole, well, obviously drinking thing, but where it's sort of coming from, you know, that 16-year-old that I talk about a lot. Well, that's sort of, well, not sort of, that's where, you know, a lot of this feeling, the need to drink was coming from. It was, you know, cause when I used to get on the drink, I'd act like a 16-year-old that was on the drink, you know, just stupid, loud, obnoxious, whatever, because that's cool, supposedly. And the 16-year-old sort of self was saying again that, you know, like when we're 16, if we drink more, we'll have a better chance with the ladies. Now, I don't think the drink has ever helped me with the ladies at all, but that's the theory that the 16-year-old throws around, and that's definitely where a lot of this push was coming from. It was that, you know, sub-personality again that unfortunately needs a bit of adjusting because the parameters that are set with this 16-year-old self, again, I've said this 16, I don't hate this part of myself, this sub-personality, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, in internal family systems therapy, you're taught that every part are just trying to do their best to protect you. That's it. And I can see how, you know, I can see the logic behind the actions of this 16-year-old continually in all these different areas where I'm being pushed to do things which probably aren't in keeping with the actual self as a 33-year-old mature male. The 16-year-old immature little boy has its own plans. And that happened again. And that's where a lot of this, you know, this feeling had this, I don't know. I had the feeling itself was sort of in the chest. It was a bit like a panic sort of thing going, you know, we don't have the safety net of alcohol to save us. Because, you know, if you say something stupid or whatever, you can go, geez, I hit the beers pretty hard the other night. I hope I didn't say anything too stupid, eh? Being drunk, eh? How funny. Because, yeah, you know, I don't have that ability anymore to just write it off and say, I was drunk, you know, it doesn't count. And I was a bit, you know, sort of panicky about that. I didn't do anything that would require being panicked, of course, like, come on. But yeah, that was another sort of feeling. And it was again from that sort of 16-year-old saying, look, you know, if you say something dumb, which we've done many times over the years, you know, you're stone cold sober. That means you're going to be judged as if, you know, you were sober and that's what you said and that's reflective of you or whatever twisted idea that it's coming up with. And we can't just write it off as being drunk, a moment of drunken stupidity. But that's all right because there are no drunken stupid moments anymore. And that is a great thing. And the big test of going on a date sober, I can tick that off and say it went well. And the reasons it went well is because I premeditated all of this and I let the lovely lady know that I would not be partaking. She could and she did if she wanted to. I said, that's fine, more than fine. But for me, drinking is a no-go. So we've got to keep to that, which she said would be fine. And I also, you know, I visual, you know, talk about visual, I probably don't talk about enough, but it is spoken about a fair bit, about visualizing things, you know, what's going to happen in the future, you know, replaying the event over and over again. And I sort of did that. And I could see myself and feel myself being sober and putting on a good show and, you know, without any need for alcohol whatsoever and pushing it from my mind. Now, I wasn't completely pushed from my mind, but I think it will be. This is a great first date, and I'm hoping there'll be plenty more to come, ladies. So please, I'm telling you, inbox me, private message at elliot.t.wars on Instagram. All right, let's get this sorted. Anyway, moving very quickly from that, but the main point is the first date sober has been a success, and there's no reason or feeling that I can sense why this isn't going to continue into the future, which is great, great news. So Elliot is still beating the bottle. How good is that? So thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll see you next time here on the Dysregulated Podcast. And remember, ladies, at elliot.t.waters. Thank you.